Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Joe Bender, filling in for Neil Stavem this week. He'll be back soon if you're missing him. And today, I am so privileged to have a guest on to talk about Islam. Her name is Samia Johnson, and she has a ministry that is just really increasing work to help Christians understand how we can talk to our Muslim brothers and sisters and to help Muslims understand the love of Christ. And so it is just going to be a great hour. Maybe you have some questions that you've always wanted to know about the Islam religion. Maybe you want to know how you can speak to your Muslim brothers or sisters or people in your neighborhood, kids at school. This is going to be a show that's going to give you some great information and equip you with a way to be able to do that. Of course, you know that worldwide there are 1.7 billion Muslims. So, of course, you may be confronting people who believe differently than you in your very own backyard and want to be able to have a conversation. So today we're just going to learn what you thought you might know about Islam but didn't know, or what you might want to learn. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Samia Johnson is Chief Operating Officer for Call of Love Ministries. It's a wonderful organization working with and for Muslims around the world. Her husband, Mike, is also from a Muslim country. He's from Egypt. They've been married for, I guess I'm not sure how many years, but I'll ask Samia in just a second. He's a musician. He works alongside Samia with Call of Love Ministries. And Call of Love has a dual role, both education and frontline ministry in Muslim countries and also here in the U.S., of course. Welcome, Samia.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Well, it's just wonderful to have you here, and I just loved reading about your background and your call to reach out to Muslims. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you even came to begin this ministry.
Amen. By the way, thank you for the introduction. We have been married for almost 25 years.
Excellent.
And we have one daughter.
I was trying to do math in my head, but I'm not that quick. So thank you for clarifying.
Thank you. I am from Lebanon in the Middle East. And as you heard, Mike is from Egypt. We were both born into true Christian families. So we praise the Lord for the heritage that he gave us by being raised in church and Sunday school. I accepted the Lord when I was 6 years old and my husband when he was 14. But because I lived during the civil war in Lebanon, 15 years, and that is war between Muslims and Christians, the Lord saved me from death 3 times. We lived underground for months, no electricity, no water. Many of my friends were killed. I lost many of my also neighbors around us. The Lord protected us. I grew up hating Muslims, Joe, all right? Hating Muslims, fearing them. But then when I was working in a Christian Arabic radio station in Lebanon while in college, God showed me for the first time how scared they are of death, how their Allah does not hear their prayers. They were sending us letters, hundreds of them, from Yemen, from Saudi Arabia, from Iraq, from North Africa, telling and showing how vulnerable they are, how they are seeking the true Creator who created them, and they don't know where to find Him.
Hmm. Tell me a little bit about why is someone who is following Islam scared of death? What is it they believe to be true about Allah?
The sad thing that every religion in the world, the man-made religion, okay, because I always say Christianity is not a religion. It is we are following the Savior. We are following the true God, and we have a personal relationship. But any other religion, man-made, there is no guarantee of eternal life, and Islam is no different. On the contrary, in Islam, because the religion is based on works, so you need to do many things to wipe out the bad things. A Muslim can never know if their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds at the Day of Judgment. There are many verses in the Quran that teach that. There's one verse that says, every Muslim will pass through hell first. And then it's up to Allah to decide when they will be released and going to paradise. So there's no guarantee whatsoever in Islam, no matter how much good a Muslim does, or fasting or praying or giving, that they will guarantee paradise, especially for women. 99% of women, Muhammad looked into hell and he saw that the inhabitants of hell were women, because they were ungrateful, they lacked in intelligence, and they did not understand their religion.
Well, that is so different from our concept of salvation as Christians, isn't it?
Amen, amen. I always say we have the great news. We always tell the Muslims, you don't need to die, because in Islam, the only guarantee for a Muslim to go to paradise, to avoid Judgment Day, is to die as a martyr for the sake of Islam and Allah. And I always say, speak in churches, when I give seminars, or when we're talking to Muslims, we say, you don't need to die anymore to guarantee eternal salvation. There is someone who paid the price and died for you so that you can have life eternal, and that is Jesus Christ.
Mm. So I think that Americans may have a misunderstanding, or just a lack of knowledge of the things that we're talking about, which is just the basic concept of salvation that someone who is practicing Islam may believe. What are some other common misconceptions that Americans may have about Muslims that kind of prohibit us from being willing to have those conversations?
That's a great question. When I used to hate and fear Muslim, I did not allow myself to understand who is this Muslim, how they are raised, what they believe. But when God poured in my heart this love towards them, he gave me this amazing agape love. So I stopped fearing them, and I stopped hating them even. All this energy transferred to, I want to reach them, I want to tell them the good news. And what I learned about Muslims, which is a misconception here, is that if we talk to a Muslim about their religion, their faith, they will be offended. And that's not the case, because for a Muslim, Islam is not only their religion or their faith, it's their everyday life, it's their ideology, it's how they eat food, how they save money, how they give. So when you talk to a Muslim about their religion, they will not be offended. On the contrary, they would love to share with you about their faith. And in return, you would gain the right to talk to them about your faith. So once you start talking about your testimony, if you refer to Bible verses, if you even invite them for coffee or tea and say, or for a meal and say, can we pray before a meal? They will really respect this. They will not be offended. So I really encourage you to as listeners, to change this and say, we need to talk about the deep things, things that matter. Also, the other thing that will not offend them is to ask them, where are you from? Which country? I see you have great heritage. It seems like you have a different language. So tell me about your culture. And in this way, you can open the way for yourself to share how you live your life, what are the ethics you follow, what is the faith you follow, and this way you can build bridges and find out what you have in common with them.
Well, I love you give such great information on your website for Call of Love Ministries, that our goal as we're having a conversation with someone who is practicing Islam is to not start with a brick wall, to not start in the areas where we disagree, but to find some commonality of maybe love for our children, love for our country, love for our families, and to see what we have in common, to kind of open that gateway then to be able to ask questions about the Muslim religion.
Yes, but at the same time, we should not be afraid to share who we are, what we believe. I remember there was one Muslim woman who lived with a Christian for 2-3 years. They were young women living together, and the Christian did not have the courage to share her faith with this young Muslim woman. And after 2-3 years, she eventually did. And this a Muslim accepted the Lord within a few months. And then one day she came back to her and said, I'm really frustrated, angry, and disappointed in you. Why didn't you share this from the beginning? Why did you hide your faith? What were you ashamed of not to share? I hear in many churches where I go and speak, Christian men would come forward and say, I've been playing golf with this Muslim physician for 10 years, but he doesn't know that I'm a true Christ follower. So I think we need to break this silence, not in an offensive way, but we need to really be bold and courageous and share our faith, because this is good news. This is light. If we don't, then they would think, oh, this is a great person. He's so moral. So we're giving the glory to ourselves instead of giving the glory back to God who has changed our lives.
Oh, that's such a good point. And, you know, I know a lot of people may be just afraid to get into a conversation with someone who believes differently than they do, fearing that they won't ask the right questions or they may not know the answers. But you say and you write that it's drawing on the Holy Spirit, and that if he gives you that desire to have that conversation, that he will equip you in ways that we don't even know.
Amen. And let's remember, Jesus told them, he will remind you, the Holy Spirit, he will remind you. So the Holy Spirit will remind us of answers, stories from the Bible to give examples. And let's not forget that it is not shameful to say, you know what? I don't know the answer to this question. This is a very important one. But I know someone, or I can look it up for you, and then we can come back and meet, and I will have the answer to you. Is this okay? And we are here as a ministry to help any Christian, any church, any Bible study group who is reaching out to the Muslims to answer questions. And let me emphasize one thing, Joe. There is no question that a Muslim has ever asked, okay, in the 35 years in our ministry among Muslims, that there is no answer for it in the Word of God. So let's be encouraged that we have the truth. We have the light. There are so many things that Satan has twisted in the minds of Muslims. Let's say, for instance, about the Bible. Most Muslims believe that the Bible has been changed, has been corrupted. So the Bible in our hands today is not the authentic one. So we need to know how to answer this. And it's a very simple answer that will help them think. We'll ask them, when do you think it was changed? They don't know. Who changed it? They don't know. So we help them go through this. We have many articles on our website, free articles that your listeners can download and be helpful in English, so that when you read them, you can share it with the Muslim as well.
Oh. Such great information. I'm talking to Samia Johnson today. She is Chief Operating Officer of Call of Love Ministries. You can find some of those resources she's talking about at calloflove.org. And we'll have a link to that on our website as well. If you just go to myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith, we'll be back to have more conversation with Samia. And maybe you have a question that you've always wanted to ask that would help you understand Islam a little bit more, or help you to understand how to have that conversation to share the love of Christ with your Muslim neighbor. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Like standing up and raising my hands. I totally remember when that song was out and I was listening to it all the time. Thanks so much for joining us for Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender in for Neil Stavem this week. Very blessed to have on the air today Samia Johnson. She's Chief Operating Officer for Call of Love Ministries, which is a wonderful organization working with and for Muslims, or for Christians around the world, to speak to Muslims about the love of Christ. Samia, tell me a little bit more about your ministry. I know that it's twofold, that you have a couple of different focuses.
Sure. Actually, when we came to the U.S. back in 1999 as a family, we were really surprised that there is a different version of Islam here that's different than in our countries. It's very diluted, westernized, so close to Christianity. And we learned that thousands of Americans are converting to Islam every year. So one of the main things we do at Call of Love is we produce publications that would speak to the Christian to know the truth about Islam, especially for our high school and college kids. That's why I wrote a very, simple book. 60 pages is called The Simple Truth, which is a comparison of 60 topics between the Quran and the Bible side by side in 4 bullet points with references. So this is a great tool that Christian schools and churches and colleges are using all over the country so that they can get to the bottom of what does the Quran teach about marriage? What does the Quran teaches about martyrdom, about fasting, about divorce, about jihad, all these things, with references from the Quran. So this is one part. The other part that we do is to truly do outreaches to Muslims. And we have been blessed to see hundreds and even thousands of Muslims come to know the Lord, not only through our direct outreach, where my husband Mike travels all over, Islamic countries and Europe and America to do outreaches among congregations and communities of Muslims, but also through media. We have tested that media now is the number one tool to bring the message of the gospel to the Muslims right in their private rooms, in their cars, where they work. It's on their phones, on their tablets, on their computers. So we have TV programs in Arabic, in English. We also have interviews and live, and the Lord has enabled us this year to start doing a TV station. So we are preparing to launch a TV station in English and Arabic. It is on YouTube for the Muslims, especially the young population of Muslims all over the world. So we will be reaching 600 million Muslims. And we need the help of everyone who is able to help in this, because it's a huge intake. We're producing programs in our ministry offices, and we're preparing a phone call center so that we can receive the phone calls from the Muslims from Indonesia, Malaysia, Europe, America, and we can help them and pray with them and eventually help them to get discipleship. We are excited about this opportunity, and we need prayers, and we need people to come together and help us.
Mm. Well, you're just doing such wonderful work, and it's so interesting to read about it. And I did also look at your book, and I actually downloaded it on my Kindle, and it is so incredibly helpful, your Simple Truth book. It's so helpful and short and very pointed. It's very helpful. So thanks so much for providing that for us.
Amen. Amen. I want to point out that knowledge sets us free, Joe. So if we are afraid of something or hesitant to approach it, or we have some negative thoughts about it or anything, we need to know more about that. So we need to know more about those Muslims. And I always say we need to differentiate between the religion, Islam, all right, which is an ideology that its teachings mostly is against the teachings of the Word of God and the Bible and Jesus Christ. And we need to differentiate between Islam and the Muslims. And Muslims are those who are the followers of Islam. And we always say in our ministry that most Muslims are victims of this oppressive religion. They were born into it, and their parents, their Friday school teachers, not Sunday school teachers, and religious leaders tell them, you're born a Muslim, you die a Muslim. You have no right to think of even leaving Islam. So imagine if you were grew up in such an environment, what would you do, right? That's why we urge the Christians to have compassion towards the Muslims, who 90% of them are not against you, do not hate you, do not want to kill you, but they just don't know any better. And it's our responsibility to take the initiative and to tell them that there is a better life for them waiting on the other side.
Oh, it's just so encouraging to hear you say that we really need to just share our experiences, our testimony of the way that God works in our lives, and that that could open a conversation where they can then understand a little bit more about the God that we worship.
Oh, definitely. You don't need, as a believer, to know a lot about Islam. The simple truth is enough, all right, to the book that I wrote. It's simple, and you can have this for information. But what we need to really know is the Bible, the Word of God, and what we really need to share is our testimony, how God saved us, how God took us from darkness into light. You know, Joe, most Muslims think when they come to America that every American is a Christian. And
wouldn't that
if this is the case, yes, that would be nice. And but on the other side, what they think is Christianity equals America equals Hollywood. Mm. All right. So it is our responsibility, and to if we have a Muslim neighbor or a colleague, to say, hey, you know, yes, I'm an American, but I was not born, I didn't inherit Christianity. I had to choose who to follow. And I am a true Christ follower. So they would tell you, oh, so you're a Christian. You would say, no, I'm more than a Christian, because Christianity has become very, you know, misinterpreted. So we say, I'm a true Christ follower. And this will open the door for you to share your testimony, how God is real in your life, how you have a personal relationship, how he hears your prayers, how you are changing every day, how you're not good from your own nature, but he changes you to have the fruit of the Spirit. So this is key for us to share with our Muslim friends.
Well, and a personal, having a personal God who knows you and whom you know, is something that is foreign to a Muslim, isn't it?
It is very foreign. I teach in my seminar the differences between the Allah of the Quran and the God of the Bible. And one of the differences is Allah cannot be personal, all right? He does not get involved in your daily lives. The other thing, Allah can never be your father. You're not a child of God. You are only a slave, and he's the master. Allah is not love. He only likes or approves of those who do good, so he doesn't love the world. So the concept of Allah in Quran is so different from the concept of the Heavenly Father that we worship. And this is mind-boggling, and it is like you can get an aha moment from the Muslim when they realize, wow, so it makes sense. My Creator needs to love me. I'm not a slave. I should be a child. And that could be a trigger point for many questions to follow.
And what has been your experience as you have shared that truth? I know, you know, you're so able to do that. What has been your experience and the reaction you'll receive?
What I hear is sometimes when they're not ready to move from darkness into light or to pay the price, they say, oh, I wish my God is like that. Mm. Your God is filled with love. Your religion, they say, is filled with love. And then afterwards, what I always tell them is, before you sleep, because they pray five times a day, before you sleep, seek God, the one who created you, and ask him to show you the real way, the true path. Believe me, God does not leave a Muslim if they are seeking the truth. He reveals himself in many cases in dreams and visions, and shows himself as the Son of God who died in their place. And many of those Muslims wake up in the morning, new creation.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Such great words from Samia Johnson. We are talking to her about how you would have a conversation with a Muslim to tell them about the love of Christ. We'll be back with Samia after the break here on Connecting Faith.
Nation.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender in for Neil Stavem this week, and pleased today to be speaking with Samia Johnson of Call of Love Ministries. Samia was born in Lebanon, married to a man born in Egypt, and they are Christians and never had converted to Islam, even though much of the country did during a civil war. Samia now has this ministry called Call of Love, reaching out to not only the Christians to help us have conversations about the love of Christ with our Muslim neighbors, but also reaching out to Muslims. And part of that is working with refugees even here in the Midwest. Samia, can you tell us a little bit about your work there?
Yes, thank you, Joe. First, I want to say I know that in Minnesota there are many refugees, and Minnesota has a special place in my heart for two reasons. First, because I love the cold weather, believe it or not. Lebanon has so many mountains, and we have snow, and I love your weather. The second thing is we have many churches and families that we have built friendships with and partnerships in your area who believe in our ministry, and we visit often Minnesota, and we love, you know, all your hunting season and all these things. So, and I praise God for this state where it has opened its heart and its arms to refugees. The Lord has called us, Joe, to ministry among refugees 4 years ago when the Syrian crisis happened, and Syrian refugees started to flow into Lebanon and then Jordan and Iraq and Turkey, and the Lord opened doors to partner with local churches there. First, we started to provide blankets and milk and diapers, but with also offering the Word of God. So as a ministry, we don't believe that Christians should only offer humanitarian services. We need to offer it in the name of Jesus. So we need to offer the gospel message as well. And you will be amazed, Joe, how many refugees were thirsty to hear about Jesus. It seems like the Lord has been preparing thousands of these women and men and teenagers to wonder, why is this happening to them? Why have they been pushed out of their houses and cities from Muslims? And they started wondering, is Allah the one they should be worshiping? So they were ready to accept the gospel message. And I know firsthand, we have been serving with these refugees. Hundreds, even thousands of them have accepted the Lord. Many of them brought families to know the Lord. Some of them has started Bible study groups. They immigrated to Europe, to America, and they are being light to others. Now, here in America, it's very different because as ministries, we are not allowed to serve among refugees in a legal matter. So what we do is we just find the refugees and we visit them one-on-one personally. As of today, we have one family from Iraq who has accepted the Lord just in the past year. And they are receiving discipleship in the area we are in Ohio. There's another family, Syrian refugees. Two brothers and a sister in their 20s, they have accepted the Lord. They are receiving discipleship as well. Another Syrian family who are open to the gospel, and the mother is receiving dreams and visions from the Lord about the Lord is encouraging her to listen to us and ask us if she needs any help. So this is amazing, you know. I always encourage, if we need to do something about the refugees that are already here, is to present the gospel message, to present Jesus more than anything, because eventually he is the one who is going to continue the journey with them and provide for their needs.
So a lot of people may be listening and say, but I'm afraid because I don't know which Muslim is going to be peaceful, which might be a Muslim who is radicalized. How do Muslims who are peaceful perceive a Muslim who is radicalized?
Yes. Let me address this question, which is a great question, in two areas. First, when a Christian says, but I'm afraid, okay? Let me tell you, in the Middle East, when we lived there, this is not a word we used, okay? We said there is a price for following Christ, and sometimes this price is high, all right? So as Christians, are we willing to pay a price, to be offended, to feel rejected, to feel that someone hates us or doesn't like us? We should not have this spirit of fear, because Satan always wants the spirit to overwhelm us so that we don't have the courage to go out and reach others. Second, even if the Muslim in front of you was a Muslim who hates America, who is living here, who is a devout, extreme Muslim, I have many stories and testimonies of Muslims who came to this country to hurt others. And then because Christians loved on them and showed them the love of Christ, they melted in front of this love and they surrendered their life to Jesus. So we say that we are always have a war against the spirit of darkness. It's not against those Muslims. It's the darkness that behinds the religion of Islam. So we conquer when we present God's love and when we love on them. Now, I'm not saying that if we see that someone is a threat to the community, we don't report them. We have to be responsible. But at the same time, we should not be fearful. And most Muslims here would be very polite and listen to you if you talk to them in a polite way, in a respectful way about your faith. And the Lord will give you a spirit of discernment. Who is ready to listen, who is not, okay? So it's not our responsibility to convert people. I always say this. It's our responsibility to plant the seeds, to present, to ask the questions, and allow the Holy Spirit to work.
Well, it does seem that sometimes we as Christians might think, well, we have all the answers, and so let me share the answers with you. But you say that's not really the best way to have this conversation about the love of Christ, is it?
I don't believe so, because most people are searching for something that would change their heart, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we have these Muslims, and I've had encounters with them who loves apologetics, who wants to believe in their head first before their heart. And that's okay. For these people, we have the books, you know, I have the resources online. You can send me an email as a listener if you have someone like this who loves to debate. We're okay with that. And many Muslims converted after they found out from debates that, okay, the truth is not Islam, the truth is Jesus Christ. But most of the Muslims, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of an experience. It's a matter of a personal relationship. It's a matter of being released from this fear of death, from this guilt that they're not doing enough. And I believe that we have the answer to that through the gospel message. This doesn't mean like we need to quote Bible verses or we need to mention stories from the Bible. By the way, the best way to introduce a Muslim to the Bible is to give them the Gospel of Luke. Why the Gospel of Luke, not John? Because the Gospel of Luke has the Christmas story, has the entire story of Jesus' life here and the crucifixion, and reflects Jesus as this physician, as this healer who cares for women and children and for the weak. And after they finish Luke, then we can present them with the Gospel of John.
Well, and, you know, speaking of the Bible and the gospel, I have heard a Muslim say, oh, no, we believe in the gospel as well. And Jesus never claimed to be God. He was just a wise man. And we regard Jesus as being a very wise man. How can we respond to that?
Yes, that's a good question, Jill. Actually, Muslims do believe that Jesus, his name is Isa in the Quran, is a prophet, and they revere him, they respect him, they respect his mother. They say we even have a book in the Quran that's named after his mother, Maryam. What they don't agree with is that Jesus is God himself. They don't agree that Jesus was crucified. So what we do is we start from the beginning with them. There are so many common things that we agree with according to the Bible. The Quran accepts the fact that Jesus was born as a sinless man. He was never touched by Satan. In Islam, it says every person is touched by Satan when they are born. That's why people make mistakes, because they don't believe in the original sin. But Jesus was never touched by Satan. He's the only one who did miracles and created things from nothing. He's the only one who is coming back again to judge the world, all right? So there are so many unique things in the Quran that elevates Jesus above all prophets. In fact, many Muslims, when they didn't have the gospel or the Bible in their country or in their town or any Christians, God highlighted verses from the Quran itself to elevate Jesus, and they understood that he is the Son of God. We have a free download brochure, by the way, under our free resources about Jesus being the Son of God, how to answer this question, how to answer also the question about the Trinity, because Muslims think we worship three gods, and this is a misconception. So how to answer this It is also a downloadable version. With the Bible, there is a downloadable article as well about how the Bible could never have been corrupted and that the Bible in our hands today is the same like the Bible that was hundreds of years ago.
Oh, such great tools, because I know that those subjects come up very often, and it's one of those brick wall subjects where, because we don't feel like we know how to answer that question, sometimes people will just then turn away instead of engaging in more conversation. And what a great opportunity to have these resources available. And like you said, if we don't know the answer, to just say, hey, let me find out more about that and let's gather again.
Yes. Yes, definitely. The other thing is, it is important, I believe, if we are going to reach the Muslims, just to find some common things. By the way, the Muslims who live in America, they have to pay their bills. Maybe you share the same schools your kids go with their kids. They go to the same grocery stores. So you will find many common things to talk about as an introduction. And I always say, don't wait months until to share who you are, what you believe in. But maybe the second visit, the third visit, start sharing a little bit about what you believe in and ask questions about how they practice their faith. And you will be surprised that they will be so engaged and interested as long as you open the way for them to share and to talk and listen sincerely. And this way, you will be able to talk as well, and they will listen sincerely.
Mm. Well, some wise words from Samia Johnson of Call of Love Ministries. We're talking about how to share your faith with someone who believes differently than you, specifically today, how to share your faith with a Muslim. We'll talk more about that. And maybe you have a question that you've always wanted to ask, but not sure whom to ask. Well, Samia would be a great person to ask that question to. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. And you don't have to ask it live on the air. You can just ask Carissa and she'll pass it along to me. I'd be pleased to be able to ask Samia that question. We have a little bit of time coming back after the break with Samia Johnson. Connecting Faith, I'm Joe Bender, speaking with Samia Johnson today, who is working for Call of Love Ministries. They have focus on two main goals: to reach out to Muslims with the love of Christ and also to equip believers so that they know how to have a conversation with someone who might be a Muslim. Well, one of the questions that has come in that people have asked, Samia, is, can you talk a little bit about jihad or a holy war and how someone who is a practicing Muslim may look at that and how that differs from any sort of holy war that Christianity might talk about?
Yes, thank you for this question and for the listener who called. Jihad is an Arabic word which means strife, okay? So it has changed its meaning in the past 20, 30 years because in community, not in the Quran, but in the Quran from the beginning, jihad had meant either strife or holy war. And in Islam, there are two kinds of jihad. The peaceful jihad, which is the inner strife. So when a Muslim is fasting, when a Muslim is waking up at 4 a.m. in the morning to wash up and to pray in the cold weather, this is inner strife, okay? When they're memorizing the Quran, all of it, within 30 days or so. But this is only maybe 10 to 20% of the jihad that the Quran talks about. The majority of the verses in jihad in the Quran is about holy war, okay? And holy war is to protect Islam, to defend Islam, and to expand Islam. Now, protecting Islam meaning protecting the honor of Islam, the honor of Muhammad, and the honor of the Quran. And expanding Islam, it's because Islam is the other missiological or missional religion in the world. Christianity is a missional religion. Islam is also a missional religion. They believe that Islam is the last message that Allah gave to humanity, and everyone needs to convert to Islam, especially governments. They need to change and follow Sharia law and Islam. And that's why there's jihad or holy war. And in jihad, a Muslim has no option. It is mandated by Allah for every Muslim. So Muslims who are not practicing jihad, like the Muslims who are, you know, westernized, who live here, groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS look at them as enemies, and they say, you are even worse than Christians and Jews because you're Muslims. You need to know the truth about Islam. You need to practice jihad, and you are not practicing it, all right? So, and the target of the holy war or jihad is every non-Muslim. So whether you're an idol worshiper or a Christian or a Jew, you are against Islam. So we need to take over your government, convert you, and make sure you are following Islam as a religion, as an ideology, as a political system, as a social and judicial system as well. Muhammad's last 10 years were all wars. There's almost 29 battles that Muhammad waged in the last 10 years of his life. He became strong, so all the messages from Allah changed, and that's where we get all the passages in the Quran about the offensive jihad and about taking over the world and the dominance of Islam worldwide.
So when we're talking about someone who might be radicalized, then we are talking mainly about people who are taking those last 10 years, the words and actions of Muhammad, and bringing those to light through jihad, correct?
Yes, and there is something in Islam called abrogation, which is, they call it the science of abrogation, where Muslim scholars say the last messages of Muhammad, they canceled and replaced the first message, which was the peaceful message. So anyone who wants to follow true Islam, even all the seminaries, Islamic seminaries like Al-Azhar of the Sunnis in Egypt and in Iran, they teach about that. It's like if you want to be a true adherent of Islam, you need to follow the last 10 years, the last message of Muhammad, which is the offensive one. So that's why they look at the Muslims who are only adopting the peaceful first phase of Muhammad's life as Muslims who are not fulfilling the entire religion. And that's why I always say true Islam is the Islam extremism, which is ISIS and Al-Qaeda and those who are against tolerating anyone else who is different than them. This doesn't mean all Muslims believe in this. Maybe 10%, 15% do this. But we see the noise higher because they are the ones who are doing something, who are killing, who are causing destruction. And that's why these are the ones who we hear from most of the time. Those who are peaceful, they are like others. They are afraid of the 15%. They are afraid to be killed and to be persecuted. In fact, there's one Muslim from Somalia, a young woman who revolted against everything that Islam had taught in her country about Sharia law and women. And now she lives in hiding in America with guards all the time, and her life has been threatened. So Muslims who want to live peaceful lives and don't want to practice jihad are under the same, in a way, they look at them as infidels, just as they look as Christians and Jews as well. I hope this answers the question.
It absolutely does, and it seems so imperative that Christians understand this and that really Americans understand this so that we can have an idea of what kind of conversations we need to have. But regardless of that division between a Muslim who is practicing jihad or practicing what they would consider to be true Islam and a Muslim who may be practicing the peaceful aspects of Islam, and that's it. We still need to understand that, and to have a conversation with both people would still be to talk about the love of Christ, would it not?
All the time, Joe, because those who are living, who are adopting the peaceful version of Islam, they still cannot guarantee their eternal life. They're living in fear. And those who are actually adopting the offensive jihad, the holy war, they do this because they're so afraid of Allah. Most of this is coming out from they need to obey this master who is cruel, who is ordering them to not tolerate anyone other than them, and they truly believe that they are going to go to paradise if they die as martyrs or if they expand Islam through jihad. So they are doing it authentically because they want to be true followers of Allah. They love Allah and they want to obey Him. Mm-hmm. So out of obedience, blind obedience, brainwashing and blind obedience. So when we shed the light on this and we say, be careful. Do you think your Creator created you to destroy others, to destroy yourself, or does He want something better for you? Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and life eternal. He came to give us better life. Do you want this better life? Do we want to offer this better life for others? The thing that we tasted, the beautiful thing that we tasted, that we should share it, this light, we should put it up there so that everyone else can see.
Such wise words. Samia, you know, I'd love for you to just share a little bit of what is available on your website so that people who are interested or feel called to be able to reach out to the Muslim community can get some resources so that they feel better equipped to do so.
Amen, amen. I created a few years ago a Bible study, 12 lessons. It's called Dare to Explore, 12 lessons on Islam and how to reach Muslims. And we produce a 12 video series, half hour each, to go with the lessons. So anyone, if you want to moderate it in your church, in your Bible study group, you don't need to know about Islam to moderate it. You watch the video, you answer the questions. The book is a workbook as well. You can find it on online. It has so many testimonies from Muslims who accepted the Lord, people who are in ministry. I answer many questions. We have documentaries to understand many concepts of Muslims and how to compare them with Christianity. This is a great resource for intentional evangelism towards Muslims. There are other resources there, books, biographies of Muslims who have accepted the Lord. Check it in our store because then you will know how God is working among Muslims. The verse that we have in our ministry is John 10:16, where Jesus said, I have other sheep too that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice, and there will become one flock with one shepherd. If you'd like to donate on our website, we would be very grateful because this ministry depends on donations from people who have a vision to reach the 1.7 billion Muslims in the world, who have a vision to make an imperative change in the lives of those who are oppressed. We work a lot among women, among children as well. There's an orphanage in South Sudan that we support because there's a lot of influence of Islam. There's a church in North Iraq that we support. We work a lot with persecuted church as well. Our newsletter, we only send it by mail because it has pictures and stories of people who, if we disclose by email, their lives will be under threat. So if you want to receive our quarterly newsletter, we send it in the mail 4 times a year. Send us an email, info@calloflove.org, or check online under Contact Us and send us a message that you would like to receive this. We would be happy to share with you. The most important thing, Joe, is we need prayer warriors. We need prayer warriors because ministry among Muslims is not easy. So we hope and pray that many churches would come alongside and pray for us in Jesus' name.
Well, Samia Johnson, we're just so grateful for what you're doing, for what you're doing through Call of Love Ministries, and for all the resources that you are providing for those who feel called to reach out to Muslims. What a great way to equip all of us to understand who we are in Christ and to be able to share that love with others. Blessings on your ministry, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Jill.
Samia Johnson from Call of Love Ministries. You can find out more about her at calloflove.org. Otherwise, just head to our website at myfaithradio.com. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.